turn to the book of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1 as we begin. It's good to be here. It's good to be home. This place will always be home to me. And since 1982, fresh out of Bible college, when the Lord called my wife and I here to Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, all these beautiful buildings were not here. And those of you that go back as far as I do, you know the shape that those buildings were in. And what a transformation. And God has worked in a wonderful way here, this place, right here on Armour Road. And what a blessing. It's always great to come back and be here at Faith Baptist Church. This is my home away from home, so to speak. And this church will always be my sending church. And it was for as a missionary to the foreign field. And this church, of course, was also my sending church as we started the church up in Aurora as well. All right. Well, it's good to be here. Good to see all these young people. And good to see some of the folks from Faith Baptist. And I think about you folks all the time. I appreciate your prayers. My wife sends her greetings. Bless her heart. She's working and somebody's got to work, amen. And I love her and praise God for her. She sends her greet Amanda, of course, in school, and her senior year, graduating this May, and last one. Praise the Lord. And have my two daughter-in-laws with us this morning, and Laura and Sarah, and God bless them. And I assume granddaughter is in the nursery, and we miss. I'm anxious to see my granddaughter. She hasn't been home for a few days, and Laura's been here with you folks over the weekend and so forth. So we've missed her, and we'll miss Laura too. Amen. All right. Okay, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This morning I want to do something that I did a few years ago here at the missions conference in this very same church, in this very same building. And I would like to speak mainly to the missionary couples that are here at the conference. And I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be an encouragement and a challenge. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody else has to turn me off and not listen, because I believe this will be a blessing to everyone present here this morning. But I want to mainly focus on the missionary couples. I don't know all of the every situation. I don't know all the couples here that are going to the mission field. Let me see the missionaries. Raise your hand, missionaries. Raise your hands, good and high. I know the Robidos real well, of course, and the Robidos, of course, I've had the privilege of being able to teach Brother Robbie. And over the years at Providence Baptist College, and been one of the mission majors there, and going to Nepal, and then you folks right here to China, and your last name? Okay, God bless you folks. Now, are you on deputation now? Okay, and you folks going to Norway, are you on deputation as well? All right, God bless the two of you. And then back here, right there, yes, sir, and going to where? India, and Kenya, I'm sorry. Kenya, Africa, and on deputation as well. Any other missionaries? Okay, yes, sir. All right, and on deputation? Okay, so all of our, have I missed anyone? Don't want to miss anyone. Okay, so all of our missionaries here at the conference are missionaries that are on their way to the mission field. So I believe this message will be appropriate, and I pray that it will be a help to you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to speak mainly to the missionaries, but to the whole crowd this morning on the subject, get ready for the battle. Get ready for the battle. Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. Without you, we can do nothing. And Father, I want to thank you for the privilege, and it is a privilege to be able to be here this morning and to be able to speak in this session. And Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity. Thank you so much, Lord, for Brother Angel and for this church. Thank you, Father, for the good people that are here. Thank you, Father, for the school and the students. Thank you, Father, for the missionaries that are here in the conference. And also, Brother Baker, the guest speaker. I pray, Father, that you'll bless now this time. I just pray, Lord, some way this will just be an added blessing to this conference. Lord, I pray that you'll use me for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Get ready for the battle. For several years now, men and women from our armed forces have been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan to fight terror abroad. Many prayers go with them. Billions of dollars in support are invested in them. Millions of Americans stand behind them. Amen? And we would all agree that our soldiers are engaged in a worthy cause, and are worthy of our prayers and our support. But there's another group of soldiers that are also being deployed overseas to fight a battle even more important. It is the battle over souls, a spiritual battle, if you will. It is a battle for eternity. These soldiers are called missionaries. People ask me sometimes, have you ever, Pastor Harrison? Have you ever been in the service in the military? I always say, I put my time in, including deputation, 17 years, and spent 15 years overseas in the Lord's army. Amen. For these soldiers called missionaries, it is even more difficult task than the conventional soldier, I believe. In many ways, it is more demanding. It usually calls for the whole family. And it requires many years of service, sometimes for life. Many times it requires the missionary and his family to be alone. Sometimes even forgotten by many. For you new missionary families, someday soon, you will be deployed into God's greatest spiritual battlefield, the front lines, if you will, into the teeth of the enemy, into the very camp of Satan, into places that are without a doubt his strongest foothold, into his territory, into the most satanic places that you have ever experienced, into the dragon's lair, into the teeth of the lion. I say to you this morning, get ready for the battle. Now, this message this morning is not to discourage a missionary couple. Amen. In fact, the purpose is the opposite. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to help in a small way, my small way, to just help get you ready. Get ready for the battle. Now, this morning, we're going to find our strength and our encouragement in the book of Joshua. Now, the Lord gave me an outline thinking about missions and thinking about this idea of the battle. And if you enjoy outlines, you might want to write this down. in chapters 1 through 5, we see preparing for the battlefield. Chapters 6 through 11, fighting the battles. Chapters 12 through 21, dividing the spoils of the battle. And chapters 22 through 24, staying in the battle. Now, these will be repeated as we go through the message. Number one, preparing for the battle. We see this in chapters 1 through 5. I want you to look at chapter 1 with me and verse number 1. And the first thing I want to mention under preparing for the battle is this. Number 1, missionaries, before you get into the battle, and part of preparation is this. You need to confirm your call. You need to make sure that God has called you to the mission field. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses' minister saying, I want you to know that God called Joshua. Joshua knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God that was speaking to him. It was God that was leading him into Canaan. It was God that was behind it all. And what an assurance and what a blessing when you know no matter how difficult the situation, no matter how challenging the battle that is set before you, you know that God's called you to do it. And some people think, oh, the missionaries, must be challenging. And the missionaries, I mean, it must be difficult to be a missionary. I tell you, it's not as difficult when you know God's calling you. It's not as difficult when you know that's where God's sending you. Confirm your call this morning. Make sure it is God that called you. Don't go to the mission field because somebody else wants you to go. Go because God wants you to go. Don't go because your parents want you to go. Remember, back my wife and I, we had the opposite reactions to us going to the mission field when we told our folks for the first time back in 1987. First of all, my wife's parents are good Christians, just love the Lord, and my wife's dad's been a deacon at First Baptist Hammond since 1972. Good man, loves the Lord. And he had prayed for a missionary in the family for years. And when we announced we were going to the mission field, I mean, he was just on cloud nine. And 2003, when we came off the mission field, he wasn't real happy about that. Now, the other end of the spectrum, so to speak, is my mom. She's not saved. And when I told my mother back in 1987 that we were going to Argentina, South America, she looked at me and said, "Are you crazy? Why would you do that? Why would you leave the United States? Why would you leave us and your family and your friends? Why?" I said, "Mom, I got to go because God wants me to go." That was hard. It's hard looking at your mother in the face and saying, "Look, I understand, Mom, you don't want me to go, but I got to go. God's sending me. God wants me to go." Don't go because your pastor wants you to go. Now, you ought to have his approval. But don't go because he wants you to go. Don't go because your wife wants you to go. Yeah. There's been a lot of missionaries that I believe that have gone to the mission field because of the wife. Yeah, there's this one couple. They got to Argentina. We'd been there for a few years, and they got to Argentina, brand new couple, just got to the mission field. And I could tell from the moment they got off the plane that this guy didn't want to be there. I mean, I'm serious. I could tell from the moment they got there, this guy was miserable. He was miserable. Now, she had grown up on the mission field. And this happens a lot whenever you have a wife that, that is from that country. And always seems, I'm not being critical here, but always seems like the missionaries always go where the wife's from. You ever notice that, you know? And that happens a lot. I'm not being critical, I'm just saying it happens a lot. But I believe this guy, he went to Argentina because that's where she wanted to go. You see, he was miserable. You see, God didn't call him there, she did. And you know how long they lasted? 6 months. Don't go because somebody else has called you. You go because God called you. By the way, God will give you peace. And God will give you peace, not just the husband, but the wife. Last week at the missions conference at Providence Baptist College there, we had several missionaries. And it just amazed me how many testimonies, how many missionaries talked about the fact that, you know, the guy would, you know, he would feel the Lord leading, and then they wouldn't even talk about it. And then the Lord would be leading the wife as well to the very same place. And they'd find out later. That happened to my wife and I. I came here in 1982. I was an assistant pastor here. And we saw a slide presentation on Argentina back in 85. And the Lord began working in my heart about going to Argentina. And I fought it for a while, a couple years. I just fought it. I thought after being an assistant, I'd be a pastor somewhere, and that was my goal. And so my wife and I began to pray about that. Lord, please give us a church somewhere. And my wife was waiting for the news. One day I would tell her, you know, a church has called us. We're going to go there and candidate and so forth and so on. But the Lord had worked on my heart and worked me over. And finally, I just said, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go to Argentina, Lord, if that's what you want me to do. And I knew that's what He wanted me to do. So I went home, and I said to my wife, I said, I know where God wants me to pastor. And she looks at me, and she said, you do? And I said, yes, I do. I said, but it's not in the States. She looked at me. She said, I know where it's at. I said, where? She said, Buenos Aires, Argentina. You see, God had worked on her heart. And I believe that God gives peace and that assurance and that confirmation, not only to the missionary husband, but to the wife. And I just want to say that in preparing for the battle, make sure you confirm your call. Don't go if there's a doubt in your mind. Don't go if you're not sure it's what God wants you to do. Confirm that call. A friend of mine, we were in deputation together. And he was going to Peru. We were going to Argentina. And by the way, we ended up going to Peru and doing a fantastic job there. But he had, after deputation, had gone for a while. Several months of deputation. He is kind of getting long. And he was starting to doubt a little bit whether or not God really wanted him to go to Peru. You know, everyone has those doubts. So he was out in the middle of Montana. I mean, have you ever been to Montana? I mean, you get on those highways out there. I mean, don't you go like 80 on those things? And he's out there, you know, with his fam. They were on death tape going from meeting to meeting. In the middle of Montana. He stops at a rest area. And there was one other person in the whole rest area. It was a Hispanic man. He could tell right away this man looked Hispanic. So he didn't know much Spanish at the time. He hadn't been to the field yet. So he just started practicing a little bit. Hola, ¿cómo está? And the guy started talking. The guy knew enough English to start carrying on a conversation. And he said, you know, my name's such and such, and so forth. He said, I'm a missionary going to Peru. And the guy looked at him, and I'm not kidding, tears started welling up in his eyes. He said, I'm from Peru. He is visiting the United States. He said, I'm from Lima, Peru. So I can't believe this. You're going to Peru? He said, yes, I am. He said, please go. And he was a Christian man. He had received the Lord. And he said, we need more missionaries in Peru. You've got to go to Peru. You've got to go. And I've got relatives and family there that need the Lord. What a needy place. Oh, I have such a burden for my country. I'm so glad you're going to Peru. He walked out of there on cloud nine. He's going down the road, you know, 80 miles an hour, whatever that expressway is, in the middle of Montana, tears streaming down his face, saying, thank you, Lord. You want me to go to Peru. All I'm saying this morning, missionary, is confirm your call. Make sure God wants you to do it. The second thing under preparing the battle is confirm your walk with God. Confirm your relationship with the Lord. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, here's the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. There's that relationship with the word of God, that thou may observe to do all according to all that is written therein. And for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You need to confirm your walk and your relationship with God. The best way to prepare for the battle is to confirm your walk with God. Make sure you're right with God before you get to the mission field. Listen, you will only go as far as your walk with God will take you. You go to the mission field, you're not right with the Lord. You say, by the way, those of you in the audience, you think, you know, well, aren't all missionaries super spiritual? Well, you hope that all missionaries love the Lord and are dedicated to the Lord. I tell you what, I've met some pretty unspiritual missionaries. I've met some missionaries, had them in my country, that were carnal as carnal could be. You need to make sure you're right with God before you get to the field. Under that, learn to pray. Learn to get things from God. If you haven't learned that yet, you got to learn it. You got to learn to beg God and plead before God. Because if you haven't learned that already, you're going to have to learn it. Deputation. You start deputation. You think, Lord, how am I going to get my support? You got to pray. You got to beg God. Yes, you work hard. Yes, you schedule meetings. Yes, you travel. Yes, you show good presentations. But you got to pray. You got to depend on God. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. I remember when we were so concerned about getting our permanent papers, our visa to Argentina, and we had some clogs. We had some problems. We started with 8 pieces of paper. 8 different, pieces of paper that they told us we had to get our papers. And 8 months later, we ended up with 88 different pieces of paper in the same manila folder. All the different requirements and things that they made us do and different papers they made us get. And we did. I tell you what, I got on my knees many a day and said, oh God, please, please give us our papers. Finally that day came when God gave us those permanent papers. I recall just a few weeks after we got to Argentina, couldn't speak the language. And we'd sent a crate with basically all of our personal belongings. We had a washer and dryer. We had all of my books. And, a lot of our personal belongings. And the crate got to the port. We'd already spent like $4,000 to send it. And it finally got there, and we're excited about it. And we get there, and they looked at us, and they said, you don't have your permanent papers yet. They said, if you want this crate, you're going to have to give us $3,000 more. You say, well, that's crooked. Well, you better learn that real fast. Because that's the mission field. It's all about being crooked. Not the missionary, bless God. But those you're trying to reach, the government and the state officials and the people at the port and all that stuff, I'm not trying to scare you and discourage you. I'm just saying you're going to have to face things like this. We're like, how are we going to get this crate? We just spent money buying a vehicle. We had just spent some deposit money on an apartment to rent. We were out of money. And all we could do was pray, Lord God, help us. Well, we want to get our crate out. We prayed and prayed, and after just a few days later, we got a letter in the mail. It was from a church that had not taken us on yet. In fact, we didn't even know if they were. And it was a situation where this church gave one time a year. One time to each mission, they gave one time a year. And it was exactly how much? $3,000. And we took the money, we gave it to them, got the crate, got our stuff, and we began to learn to pray. Remember when we found the building? It was a restaurant bar. Had a big sign on the building. With a beer mug with suds coming down. And it would light up at night. Yeah. Those people love to drink down in Argentina, so we drew a big crowd. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, we took the sign down. But and it was a restaurant bar. We went in there and had to renovate it. And we started planning what we were going to do. That tremendous deal on the tremendous price at that time. They only wanted $30,000. Tremendous price. It was spacious and had a patio that went way back. It had places for classrooms and restrooms and a kitchen with full facilities. They left everything in there. I mean, they left the refrigerators and the microwaves and the fryers and the plates and the cups and the utensils and everything. They even left the wine they had all, you know, up on the wall. So we were okay at the Lord's Supper, amen. But some of you are looking at me like, is he serious? But the thing is, we didn't have 30,000. We didn't have 300. Once again, oh God, please. Lord, this seems like a great opportunity. Got a letter out. Our director got some letters out. Praying. Within 2 months, over $30,000 came in. We were able to buy that building. It was ours. We moved in, do some renovation. And that was the start of the Victory Baptist Church in 1990 in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Listen, missionary, you got to confirm your walk with God. You have to learn to pray. Number two, you got to learn to give. Learn to give. I know the joke. Missionaries are called moochinaries. You know what the missionary handshake is, don't you? I guess you could do one, but seriously, missionaries, by the way, some of the biggest givers I know are missionaries. Missionaries learn to give. Remember when we first started deputation? It was in April of 1988. I was assistant pastor here. I resigned. Still had an office here. Still able to come and go. Use the phone. Do some things. But we started with $50 a month. $50 a month. And a full schedule. Bless God for the full schedule. And a Chevy Chevette with no air conditioning. And two little boys. And I asked somebody to build me one of those wooden display boards. I look at the missionaries' display boards today and I think, man, those are nice. This guy, I forgot who it was, somewhere in the church here, built that thing. It weighed 200 pounds. I had to have my wife carry it around the country. The thing was huge. And the thing was so big, we had a hatchback, one of those Chevette hatchbacks. Open it up, and what we had to do is put our suitcases all in there, pack them in, then put the display board, help me wife, put the display board on top of the suitcases. And that thing was so long that it hung over about that much over the back seat. So my two boys were constantly bumping their head on this display board, you know, for 85,000 miles and 35 states. And by the way, I believe that's why the Lord allowed us to do our deputation in record time. 14 months. Because He felt really sorry for us. Amen. But that's what we started with. And I remember our first missions conference was here. Not this building, but the old building. And we had some missionaries in, and we were one of them. And we had saved up $800. Quite a bit of chunk of money back then. We were going to use it for traveling and, you know, gas money, motel, whatever we needed. And so we had that money, and missions conference came. Preacher get up, said, listen, if God's speaking to some people in here about giving, we need some folks to give extra for this conference. I mean, we want to give these missionaries a great love offering and so forth and so on. And the Lord began to work on my heart. Well, by the end of that missions conference, I decided to give the $800. So I went home and I said to the wife, I said, honey, you know the $800 we have in the bank? She said, yeah. Well, what about it? I said, I think God wants me to give it to the missionaries. She said, what? I think God wants me to give it to the missionaries. So we gave the money. A month later, I was passing through, went to my office. By the way, the office was back where the gym, the old gym was. My office was back there in the very back. And I went back. There was a letter on my desk. And it was, there was a check in the letter. And it was from one of the folks here at Faith Baptist Church. And it was a check for $1,600. God doubled that $800. And I said, wow, this is fun. So we stepped out on faith even a little bit more. We were already given the faith promise. I stepped out a little bit more. I said, Lord, I'm going to give $100 a week just to Faith Promise Missions. And so we did. Didn't know how we were going to do it, but God supplied it. We never failed. We never were failed to be able to give that money every week. And I believe, some people ask, how come your deputation went so fast? We went to 120 churches. 70. Took us on for support. Some people ask why. I think the main reason, Brother Baker, this is no credit to us. We just learned to give. God blessed. And missionaries, learn to pray, learn to give, learn to love people. Missions is about people. Deputation is about people. You know, I just want to, you know, put my two cents in here. And you know, if there are people who disagree with me, then so be it. But there are some people that think that deputation is a bad thing. There are some people think, and pastors think that, you know, missionaries ought to be able to avoid it altogether. No, I think deputation is a good thing. I think it's a ministry. I think it's a time that God has allowed you to go through to learn to trust Him and to build up prayer support and to build up friendships all over the country and so forth. I think it's a good thing. And it's about people. Building a work for God is about people. Preparing for the battle. Confirm your call. Confirm your walk with God. And then confirm your relationship with your spouse. I cannot stress this anymore. If you're having problems with your wife or husband, you better get it right now. You better have a strong marriage. Your husband or your wife better be your best friend. Especially for the missionary. See, it gets lonely sometimes. My wife has always been my best friend. And I depended on her so much on the mission field. Still do, but especially on the mission field. She depended on me. We were so close during those years on the mission field. My wife is such a blessing. She's my friend, my best ears, my strength, mother of my children. I would not be going on 26 years of full-time ministry without her. Missionary, make sure you're right with your spouse. And I believe this, I'm going to make a statement. The devil is already planning his strategy how to break your marriage. How to break it up. He set a trap in every one of the countries that you missionaries are going to. He has some woman, someday, waiting for every missionary man in this conference. God spared me from that trap. But believe me, the devil certainly tried. In several marriages among missionaries in Argentina were destroyed. Destroyed! Because of bad marriages. One of the finest missionaries as far as building a work and soul winner. Marriage began to go down. And he began to see a prostitute on a weekly basis. Every week. Until he was finally caught. And had to leave the country. Some friends of ours, dear friends of ours, the wife ended up having an affair with one of the nationals in their church. One of the men in their church. I'm telling you, the devil lays traps. The devil may have a man for one of the ladies in this group waiting on the mission field. You'd better confirm your marriage. Also confirm your relationship with your kids. I could go on and on with that. Then not only confirm your call and your walk with God and your relationship with your spouse, but confirm God's promise. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Fear thou not. God will take away those fears. Am I going to get all of my support? Trust God. By the way, missionaries, don't go under-supported. Sometimes people will say, why don't you just go by faith? Just go by faith. Those old-time missionaries used to do it. Let me say this. It takes the same faith to get your support before you get to the field as it takes after you get there. A lot of fears. Am I going to get my papers? Fear thou not. Am I going to be able to learn the language? Fear thou not. Am I going to be able to adapt to the culture? Fear thou not, God says. Am I going to be able to educate and raise my kids on the mission field? Fear thou not. Will God give us souls? Fear thou not. I remember God gave us our first soul. A lady named Ilda, out knocking doors. We had learned enough of the language where we could witness. And I'm sure it was pretty bad Spanish back then. We led that lady to Christ. When we left 15 years later in 2003, she was still a faithful member in our church. God will give you souls. Listen, I had all those doubts before I went. Am I going to get deputation done? The papers, the language. I was scared to death about learning a new language. Are we going to win souls? Are people going to come? We left the church in 2003. About 200 people solid every Sunday. Went to the airport. About 75 of them there to hug and kiss us and say goodbye. The Lord says, fear thou not. Will God give us a people? Fear thou not. Will our churches keep supporting us over the years? Fear thou not. Will God keep us safe on the mission field? Fear thou not. Fear thou not. Now this was all under preparing for the battle, which is most of the message. Fear thou not. I'm not going to be that long. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. They went and came to harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Go, view the land. There's my verse on survey trip. View the land. Look at chapter 5, verse 15. Finally, Joshua is ready. He's prepared. Chapter 5, verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Then he goes right into chapter 6, where they're ready to go and fight the battle. The second main point after preparing for the battle is fighting the battle. We see this in chapter 6 through 11. In chapter 6, the battle of Jericho teaches us that it is God that wins the battles. You see, it was God that knocked those walls down. And missionaries, it is God that's going to do the winning and it's God that's going to give you the victory. Chapter 7 through 8. The battle of Ai teaches us that we can't enter the battle with unconfessed sin or depend upon the flesh. Chapter 9, the alliance with the children of Gibeon teaches us to be careful with anyone or any group that would cause us to compromise. And you're going to face that on the mission field. In chapter 10, the battle against the kings teaches us that we need to pray for God's miraculous power to win the battle. Like when Joshua prayed the sun would stand still. Listen, this is a missionary. It's not a carnal work that you're doing. It's a supernatural work. The third main point, dividing the spoils of the battle. Chapters 12 through 21. The land was divided among the 12 tribes. Israel conquered the land and won great victories. Therefore was able to reap the benefits. The souls of men, missionary, are the spoils. Changed lives. Churches built. Nationals trained. More fruit for God. That's the spoils of the battle. Well, lastly, the final point, staying in the battle. Find that in chapters 22 and chapters 22 through 24. Look at chapter 24. Last verse we'll look at and we're done. Joshua 24 and verse 31. Joshua 24 and verse number 31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. We see that Joshua served the Lord all his life. The following generation served the Lord, staying in the battle. 16 times in this chapter we see the word serve. Serving God is for life. By the way, you don't have to be a missionary to apply that. If you're a layman, if you're a teenager, boy or girl, serving God is for all your life. Missionaries, when you get in the battle and win battles and lose some, you divide the spoil, stay in the battle. Missionaries, you're going to need a lot of help. You need God. You need God's people. You need prayers. You need prayers. Remember that. If you're going to stay in the battle, you need prayer. I'm going to conclude with this illustration. Back in 1994, it was about a 2-month period. My health was breaking. I was going through a difficult time with that. There were some major things happening in the church. The devil was attacking from all sides. All sides. It was the first time and only time I seriously thought about walking away, throwing in the towel, and forgetting it. Not being a missionary anymore. But we got through it. And then we came home for a furlough. That December was our first furlough. We've been gone for almost 5 years. And there was a lady in this church. In fact, she's sitting in this audience. She said to us, she said, in November of 94, or no, last November, were you all going through a real hard time? Yeah, we were. She said, the Lord pressed upon my heart to pray for you guys on a daily basis. Makes me wonder if the prayers of that person kept us from quitting, kept us on the battlefield. Missionary, you need prayer. You need God. By the way, all you folks, pray for your missionaries. Did you just get that illustration I just gave? Maybe you will be the one person that keeps one of these missionaries on the field. But we don't believe it. We say, Lord, bless all the missionaries. Amen. We got to pray. Lord, God bless brother so-and-so. Help him, his family, his situation. Get ready for the battle. Thank God we have Him all through the battle. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for the example of we find in the book of Joshua. Lord, help us, these missionaries, to prepare and then, Lord, help us to get the victory in the battles. Lord, and divide the spoils, the blessings. Then, Lord, help us to stay in the battle. Lord, I pray that this has been a blessing to the missionaries, but Lord, not just to them, but to all these people that have listened and been here this morning. I pray, Father, that our hearts have been challenged some way. I pray, Lord, this will help us, Lord, to draw closer to You, just be stronger in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet.
Closed. I'm not going to press the issue. If the Lord spoke to your heart, missionary family, young person, adult in the room this morning as the ladies play right now. So, invitation. Would you come? What a great, great message. I love that message. I love it. Absolutely love it. I love it. Would you come? Maybe God would use you, use me, use our prayers. In answer to our prayers, some missionary family would be encouraged. In answer to our prayers, some missionary family would be strengthened. Amen and amen and amen. Dear Father, I thank you for the preaching of your word this morning. Very, very Bible-based message applied so wonderfully to these missionary families especially, but Lord, to all of our hearts. And I thank you, God, for the voice of experience and, Lord, someone who's been through it. And I pray that you'll just continue to bless Brother Harrison with good health. Thank you for the energy with which you preached this morning. It blessed my heart to see that. And more than that, Lord, to have my heart stirred by your Spirit. Encourage these missionary families, Lord, may you give them a wonderful, wonderful deputation experience as they prepare and get ready for the battle. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'll tell you, that's, I think that's, excuse me, the third time I've heard that message. Brother Harrison, you were invited last year to preach at the conference, but couldn't get here because of the snowstorm, the blizzard. And I plan on having him every year for this purpose. Now, he may not preach this message. God may lead him another direction. But I don't know of a better message for deputation missionaries than that right there. Because, see, I can preach to y'all and from the perspective of pastoring and serving God full time. Brother Baker can too. But, man, you heard from somebody this morning who's been in your shoes. That makes such a difference. And just knows exactly how it is. Tremendous, tremendous message. And I like what he said about learning to be generous. Most missionary families are. You're exactly right. I just got a text message last night before the service from Jason Lowe. He and his wife Heather are out of this church and they're on their way to the Bahamas. Have you met them, Brother Baker? The Bahamas. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. That's it. Yeah, I guarantee it. But he sent me a little email. He said, I know it's missions, text messages. I know it's missions conference, praying for the conference. We mailed our faith promise commitment today, and we were able to increase it a little bit. I was glad. Bless his heart, man. That's a blessing to me. So just with a new baby and about 50% of their support raised. So that's wonderful. God bless you. And thank you, Brother Harrison, so much. Isn't it good to have Brother Harrison come back and preach again and just... I'm thrilled that he had energy to preach. If you folks, some of you did see him back about 3 years ago. Oh, my goodness. Talk about a walking bone. My goodness, he wasn't even walking. So God has really done a good work there. All right, very good. Don't forget,